I wrote on the board the word saints. I've noticed that's a word that's said quite a bit around here. I remember one time Brother Tony saying to us up home that the word Christian is probably the most misused word in the world. And sometimes the word saint can be misused too. You know how sometimes we'll ask around about, well, how's the saints doing? You might say, how's the California saints doing? Well, a few years ago, someone asked, well, how's the New Orleans Saints doing? And someone said, well, they ain't doing so good. They've only won a couple games. Well, them ain't saints. Well, them ain't saints. That's misused. So Lord, help us today. I want to look at a thought. 2 Chronicles. In the 34th chapter of 2 Chronicles, it's the story of Josiah. And maybe to lay a little bit of a background for this, there was a time that Hezekiah was the king. And after he died, I believe his son Manasseh was king in his stead. And he reigned for something like 55 years. And he done every perverse thing that could be done in that day. Now, I think at the end of his day, the Lord had dealt with him and he come to some repentance. But he, for 55 years reigned, did just about everything abominable that he could do. And I thought about that. And I thought about it, the things that come to my mind, I don't think that I ever had thought about it before. But I don't think that this king just happened to come up with the things that he did. The fact of it is that the evils that he did had been in that land for a long time. This wasn't the king's heart. He didn't come up with it. I thought about the political influence that probably was in that land at that time. His relationships. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just because some poor people down in the valley down there decided, we're going to worship Baal, we've done it, and we want you to do it, and the king rose up and said, yeah, that's what I want to do. No, the political influences of his day around him probably manipulated him into all of these things. He got something from that. He no doubt gained something physical, financially. Somehow, if you know what I'm talking about, political, the influences around of other people. Hey, king, we've got some money here, and we got a little bit of influence with some people here, maybe, and perhaps if you'll lean a little bit here on this issue, why then we can make it awful comfortable for you. We have selected out of our group 20 beautiful women here, and they all can become wives to you if you was to give over a little. See, we worship Belial. We worship Baal down here, and we like the ability to do it. See what I'm saying? The political influences and the structure around him, no doubt he give up. He didn't come up with it. It'd been age old. He simply began to give in to it. Did he himself go bow down to it? I don't know that. In many cases, that wasn't what happened. I don't think it ever happened in Solomon's case, but yet Solomon allowed himself to be involved in it. He was king at the time. Well, Manasseh was that way, and for 55 years, he reigned. After he died, then his son reigned for 2 years. And in those 2 years, he also did everything evil. Everything that could be done, he done it. Then there come this time, the time of Josiah. And in the 34th chapter, it says Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. and walked in the ways of David, his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. I think a few things is interesting. One of them is that the term that used the David. Isn't that amazing? David was used. There's a lot of kings since David and after, but all the way down into Jesus' day, they were still referring to David. David set the watermark for all of them. I know he had his failures, but in his lifetime he served God out of a true heart. He sacrificed, he gave, he denied himself, he sanctified himself, he loved God with all of his heart. And God said there was nobody like David. He said he's a man after my own heart. And he set the mark until all this time. He could have said, son, he was a son of Hezekiah too, but all the way down, he said he was a son of David. David set the mark all the way down. And he says that he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Here was Josiah. Can you imagine being a king at 8 years old? What would you do at 8 years old that would be a king? But he was established the king at 8 years old. And at 8 years old, it says he was king, and in his lifetime, it was said of Josiah that he started well, he continued on, and he ended true. That was the whole story of Josiah, a faithful man. And this says that it never went to the right or to the left. The political influences that was in the same, it was in his day, the same forces that could have manipulated him through bribes, manipulations, through the force of the people, everything that could have looked bad, soured at it. Well, everybody wants to be looked at as good, and no doubt he did too, but he didn't allow that to change him all of his life. He didn't go to the right hand. In other words, everything that he knew was right, he done it. He didn't go overboard into the compromising of the things that are around him to try to obtain favor with the kingdoms that were around him to establish a better kingdom in this world. He never looked to it to try to establish it that way. He didn't go to the left or to the right. For in the 18th or the 8th year of his reign, 8 and 8, 16... 16 years old, am I getting that right? At 16 years old, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. At 16 years old, this man began to seek after God. Then in the 12th year, think about this. Then in the 12th year, at 20 years old, he began to do something. He began to tear down. He became aggressive. Where did he get that from? I wonder. Something moved upon his heart, and he began to start tearing things down. It says he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. I just wonder in my mind as I thought of that, I wonder if Josiah run up against any opposition when he did that. I wonder if everybody said, yeah, I'm glad the king finally done it. We're so tired of doing that. I wonder if all the old leagues and agreements and covenants that had been made with these people and allowing them to do it, I wonder if that was all okay with them. I imagine, knowing people, that this was a battle. This wasn't an easy thing to do. And at 20 years old, he began to tear these things down. He began to look to God and under the direction of God, began to move some things out with a heart towards God, began to change some things that he had control of. He didn't go to the right hand to do it or nor to the left. He stayed right in the middle. He done what he needed to do and was true. That's encouraging to me. At 20 years old, then it says in the 18th year, 26 years old, some 8 years after he began to purge, and I won't read this all, but you probably read it, but in this it seems as though they had been gathering up funds, offerings, taxes maybe, And they'd been putting it into the treasury, and it was all for the restoring of the house of God. And they had accumulated this, and in this time, in the 18th year of his reign, he called for that money out of there. The workers was working, and they needed to be funded, so they called for the treasure. They go to the treasure, and the priest goes in to bring the funds out. And in that time of in there, the priest finds a book. He finds a book in there. And in my mind, I couldn't help from wondering, when was that book put in there? When did they quit using that book? I imagine about the time of at the end of Hezekiah. Some 75 years, they didn't have the book. Think of that. Some 75 years to this date, and they pull out this book. And in my mind, it was a book, but no doubt it was a scroll with dust all over it. And they find, and the priest goes in there and said, "Nobody ever told me about where this was at. And here, what is this?" And takes it out. This is the old law. We found something in here. He takes it and gives it to the scribe. The scribe comes and brings it to Josiah. I wonder what happened with Josiah when he brought that to him. I wonder if he felt the same thing I felt when I read it this way. I wonder if something leaped inside him. And a curiosity. And not only a curiosity, a desire. But not only a desire, a woe. What's in the book? What's in that book? And they read it to the king. They read it to him. "King, we found something here." Here was a king for all his life, it looked like, from the time he was a young man, devoted his life to God. And now they open the book and read out of it. I guess there could have been a lot of things felt there at that time. There could have been a thought that I have served the God faithfully, and I'm not afraid of anything that's in that book. But when they read it to Josiah, he rent his clothes. They read something out of that book in all this faithful man's livings and doings. Just shocked him. It brought him to his knees, what the book said. I thought about what could they have said. Some of the scholars assumed that what they had said was the curses that was in the books of people that didn't live for God. But Josiah obviously had already started dealing with that and tearing down the cursed things and had done it for 8 years. Well, I wonder why he did what he did. I'll tell you what I think why he did what he did. I think it was just like when Jesus beheld the city and he wept over it. And he said, if thou had only known in that thy day what belonged to thy peace, he wept. All the things that God had established, all the things that God had left to a people, not just a people called, a people chosen to all the blessings of God, of all that God was and is, he had established to these people and had entrusted them with the most valuable things of all and had given it to them. And they shunned it, rejected it. What would make them take something like this and trade it for something that was so foul, so wicked, so perverse? They read it to the king and he's rent his clothes. It touched the king. The scholars assume that it was Deuteronomy 28, 29, 30 that he read. 28 of Deuteronomy starts out and says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God,
to observe and do all these commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. I wonder what that meant to Josiah when they read it. Oh, he rent his clothes. All this nation. I'm fighting to tear this stuff down, and all, if you'd only have known what belonged to you. What the Lord is trying to give you here. What you're missing out on. All the blessings of God. If you'd hear me and hearken to me, I'd set you on high. I'd set you above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. You can't outrun them. You can't handle them. You can't get away from them. You do what I say. You can't hide from them. They'll seek you down like a hound on a trail. They'll run you till they treat you. They'll bring you these blessings. I'll give it to you till you can't get away from them if you'll follow me. I'll bless you all the way through. What do you think about a king that loved these people? About a king, you know how we feel about things. You know how you feel about your family? You know how you feel about your people? The people that's the dearest to you? You know how the heartstrings are? It's our people. This is our clan, these are our kin, our people. This is the way Josiah felt about his people. He felt this way because he was anointed to be king. That's why he felt that way. That's what made David king. That's what made him set the watermark for it all. Was his love of God and God's heritage. People have shunned God's heritage, folks, for years. God hates it. He said, of Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Why? Because Esau despised. It didn't mean that he had awful feelings towards. He didn't put worth to what was his, given by God. The heritage. When the children of Israel came up to Jordan and properly had the inheritance of the land of Canaan, the Bible says they despised it. Not with feelings of hatred, but the lack of worth given to it. All people have shunned the heritage that God is trying to give. Josiah, anointed to be king, stood as the head of this, and this was his people. He was doing all that he could. And when these things hit his ear, I believe that it rocked him in his soul. He'd not heard 75 years, possibly. That's my mind. But the book, they didn't know the book was there. They found it. And then they read out of it. And all these blessings shall overcome thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks, and thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that raise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. That is talking about the formulations of the enemy. It's always been that way in war. You come in your strongest potential. You come unified. You come in together that every place will support the other place. And it comes with unity that you attack here at this time and here at that time to get the maximum effect of your assault. The devil did that against Job. Before the one quit speaking, here comes another and another to try to get the maximum effect of discouragement to Job. But Job was an old saint too. But he said they go seven different ways. What that means is the order is broken.
There's no power in the unity of it. They'll come in a unified force and they'll run one way and then the other. They'll be broken and have to flee out all different kind of ways. The Lord was going to bless just this way. That's the way the Lord was wanting to bless His people. And here Josiah had listened to that and he fell down and he rent his clothes. And he started looking to the Lord. Then on over here in the 28th of Deuteronomy. No, so let's go back to 2 Chronicles 34. Josiah come before the people and he read the book. In the 31st verse, and the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes and all His heart, with all His heart and with all of His soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. This was the covenant of God. This was the book that said, if you'll do this, I promise you. If you'll follow me, I promise you all these things. If you'll do this, you'll be my people. And I'll be your God. If you'll follow me with your heart, I'll keep my covenant. If you don't, you'll be cursed among all people. Above all people. But if you do it, I'll bring my blessings upon you. Josiah ended well. He established this with all of his heart. He did that. A saint. And I have a burden today, and Lord help us. I want to be a saint. I believe Josiah was a saint. I believe this was the last of the making of the saint right here. The perfecting of the saint was when he came to this point. This is the ultimate that every preacher is trying to preach to. This is what every preacher wants everybody to come to. This is the ultimate. This is where everything comes together. Is that when you get to that place that I'm willing to hold that dear with all my heart. Against all political forces. Against all the forces of the world. All peer pressures. Everything that the devil can drum up. Every kind of influence that can be in my life. I covenant to you that I will live for you no matter what. With all of my heart, I'm going to serve the Lord. The word saint, best that I can understand it, basically is just the human form of the temple vessels. They were sanctified. They were used for one thing and one thing only. That was the purpose of God. And you put that into a human form and you call it a saint. That saint is sanctified. It is consecrated to one purpose and one purpose only. That I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do all I can do. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to give my life to Him. I'm going to do everything that it takes to do what He wants me to do in this life. But I want to tell you something. The blessings that was described there are to the soul, not to the body. There's many temple blessings. But that one man said, talking about those kind of blessings, he said, for every scripture you can give me for those, I can give you 10 on suffering. And that's just about the truth. That's the way it is in there. In this life that you and I live, we're going to have to face things. A lot of things. We're going to have to endure. We're going to have to go through things. It's going to take a commitment to do it. Lord, help us. I appreciate the ancestry of the saints. And that has not always been popular to say. There has been moves against it. Don't know how popular it is to say that I appreciate. I want to tell you something right now. I get a little provoked when I hear somebody running down the old saints. And I'll tell you why. Because they proved it. They, as we heard, they sealed it. They lived it true. Did they do everything right? No, just human as we are, but they lived it. Down to earth, they lived it. They give their life for it. They give their blood for it. They give their sweats and tears for it. They give their prayers for it. I appreciate very much the old saints. Those that give their life for it. Those that held the truth. Those that was willing to run the gauntlet. You know what the gauntlet was? There was a time, there was different ways, but there was a time what they'd do, they'd line up, the enemy catch you. And then they'd line up on both sides, big old long lines. Both sides, a little narrow passage down the middle of it. Strip you down and send you running through it. And then they'd have sticks and stones and clubs and whips and anything they could get a hold of. And then they'd beat you as you run through it. These old brethren run the gauntlet. Right down the middle of it. They faced all the things that they had to face in their time. Come out the end of it still believing, holding for us something that was valuable and true. And I'm so thankful for it today that I have that. I heard in this meeting already, Sister Porter stood up. I've heard her do it before. I didn't mean to get her on the spot, but she's done this before. I can tell you that Brother John means a lot to her. I don't even know who Brother John is. Don't know who he was, other than it's deep in her heart. He meant, I don't know what he done in his life, but she knows, and she testifies to it, and I feel the spirit of a faithful brother that meant something to her in her life. I really value those that held true. That got the gospel, that got the things of God, and it was valuable, and they started tearing down the high places. Those that got a hold of this thing, and when the book was read, they cried for their people. These are our people. They wept for those. They cried for the people. They held true, and they handed. Oh, many of them that I hear didn't hand it to me. They handed it to some of you. They handed it to some of you. I haven't been on the scene nearly as long as you all have. It was you all. It was the saints that embraced it. Got a hold of it and it meant something to them enough to hold on to it, to run the gauntlet. I want to tell you, there's things, and we heard it today, there's things that's coming in upon us that's pressuring us. Even the term saint. The term saint. What does it mean? Do we dare still say that there can be a holy people? A holy people, sanctified, consecrated to God. It means purity. It means no defilement in it. It means cleaned. Those temples of the vessel were cleaned and pure, and there were pure gold and nothing in them. There was no way defiled. It was a saint. It was a saint there. Those that held true. Yeah, they run the gauntlet. They run the tribulations of their day, and they held true to it. I'm glad for it. I'm glad for the ones that I knew. I'm glad for the different ones that have done it. In Romans, the first chapter, in the 7th verse, says to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. It means invited. Invited. With an openness, invited. Think of that. It's the same mind of Josiah. We've been invited. Oh, the book. The covenant. The Lord has promised. The Lord has spoken. Inviting us to be holy. Above all people. Oh, to put on the highway. Inviting, come. I'll make of you something. You can go to places you never went before. I bless you. Oh, to those in Rome, he wrote, beloved of God. He said, to all in Rome? I wonder if he says to all in the world. Called to be saints. Inviting you for a life's experience that's like none other you've ever seen. If the children of Israel would have remained true, what God could have done in their behalf? To those of us who remain true, God has miracles, deliverances. God has His presence. All God has all these things ahead for you and I. Invited into it. Invited into the holy place. Oh, I'll tell you what, I am just so enthused when I hear of some of these things that God's doing. God's still healing. God's still God. God's still on His throne. Still calling us for all the blessings that's in His storehouse. You got it all. And willing and willing to do it. And it inspires me to see someone that's willing to run the gauntlet for it. Willing to take the bruises and the licks for it. Willing to go through it to get what God has at the end of this thing. Willing to see it. To face the impossible. I'm going to tell you, our forefathers before us faced the impossibilities. Things are impossible. But they happened. People with cancers growing out on them fell off. It's an impossibility, but we thrive on it. The saints, it's God. It's God. There's no impossibilities with God. That's what it is, the faithfulness, to be faithful. Oh, the Josiah, I love that story. If one man can do it by God's help, we all can do it. The Lord is calling us to be saints. And all I want to encourage us today that those that have lived this thing before us, I don't know hardly how to say it. Let's not belittle it. They was great faith demonstrated. They was people that showed that their life wasn't worth their eternal life. They was people that laid themselves down to be able to get that which God had for them. All down through the times, the name, God's had saints. He's had saints all the way back through the time. Started all the way back after Jesus. There they come. They call them saints. Holy people. People that's following Christ. People that want to do right. And it'll give all they have to get there. Want to do it right. And they begin right off doing what? Proving the impossible. There is no way that a man can be burned to death without great suffering. That'd have to hurt. And yet they was men that never complained about it. You know how we are. It gets a good hot day. And somebody told me today, it's more a conversation piece than anything. But it gets a little bit hot and everybody's hot. Well, it ain't that hot. These people that never complained about the flames that took their life. That was an old saint. That was an old holy person that had given himself and wasn't willing to give up. They was willing to give their life to God. Oh, this scripture. It says all to be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Called to be saints. And they're talking about to reach a high place. In our moral existence, to come to that kind of place. I look back at those that lived before me, and I want to tell you, they've been inspirational to me. I've drawn great courage from them. When we look and start taking in of a people that we know nothing about, we don't know where they're from. And I'm not saying, I'm saying we fellowship, of course. But when we are willing to just accept anything without knowing what their life is, there's danger there. There is danger to not know where they're coming from. I want to tell you, I know where Josiah was coming from. He was coming from a love of his people. A love of God and a want for righteousness to reign in this world. That's a saint. I don't do it because I want to hurt somebody. I don't say these things and stand against things because I want people to be hurt. I want righteousness to reign in our land. I want God to be lifted up. I want God to be exalted. I want us to be where we ought to be. I want all of us to get to the place of what God would want us to be. What I'd like to see, what I want to see in my own life more and more is resigned to God in all my life. Lord, I'm willing to go where You want me to go. Do what You want me to do. Face the things that You want me to face. Lord, help us. These people were overcomers. They were people that took the high road instead of the low one. When the easiest thing to do would do wrong, when it was easy to do wrong, they push against it. People of faith suffered, sacrificed, was tempted, drove to the lions, faced the swords, the spears, faced the fires, faced the discouragement, political pressure, peer pressure. They faced the idea of being left out, left alone. Faced imprisonments. But one thing stood out above all of it. The covenant of God. That's what a saint is. A sanctified person. A person that's willing to do it all. Go through it all. I want to live for God that way. Prove the impossible. Got the answers. Had the answers for life's problems. Where did they get it? We heard about today. Where did they get it? The ability to be able to reach people. To be able to touch other people's lives. Where does it come from? From God in us. The ability that you and I have to do anything good is from God. It's the life of a saint. You know the term saint can be so easily misused. Well, we just say the camp of saints. I appreciate that. They're all saints. I want to say it takes a little bit more than that to be one. It takes more than saying it to be it. It takes a life. It takes a life to start with, continue on, and end faithful with. Go through it all. Whatever it takes. I'm going to do it that way. Went through the hurts. There's hurts. There's hurts in this world. Everybody's going to be hurt. Sometime or another, if you can be hurt, you will be. But what are we going to do? I'm going to face it. Just like the Lord did. Face it with the understanding and the knowledge of where I'm going and what I'm doing. We are so easily in our humanity, so easy for us to miss what's really going on. I'll give you a few examples of it. It's easy for us to say, I feel sorry for the child that's abused. But let's hang the abuser. You give that little boy that was abused 20 years. You have great pity on him, mercy. Give him 20 years and you'll hang him most of the time. You know what I'm saying? We can easily have pity on the child, but let the child grow up. And he got it somewhere. We can so easily be misguided about what is really going on around us. I've heard people say, somebody come on the campground, newly here, something to that effect. Somebody out of wisdom, somebody that should have known better, that kind of thing. Come up to them, said something, run them off. I have pity. I have pity on that one that came and got run off. Sure we do. I have pity on that one that says things wrong too. Know what I'm saying? Let's run them off of here. Let's get them to... See what I'm saying? Where is it all at? Come to the place... Had enough mistakes and failures and things in my life. Come to the place that... Hard for me to hardly point finger at anybody. Every time I think about it that way, I get all these times that I did the same thing. I thought the same way. I had so many failures. Those kind of things. It brings pity out in us. Saints learn that. Lord, help us. So many times we look and don't have the right idea or right
right view of about the things that are around us, but we run the gauntlet. Are you willing to learn your lessons? Told some folks recently. Fight your battles. Win your victories. And learn your lessons well. Those things that come into your life, learn them well. When you start running the gauntlet, you know what I mean? Seems like there's times that everything's falling on you. Learn your lessons. Come out of it on top and we'll all be better for it. The Lord wants to make of us saints. Everyone is here invited to us, to all people, and to us particularly here. Want to make a saint, inviting you, called to be saints, called to have a tender heart, called to have the love of God in your life, called to have the answer, called to be able to suffer. We face things in this world right now that those before us have not faced like we have. The technological advancements of our day are great. And we've got to deal with it. We've got to deal with that. I say to you today that the very best thing to do is still trust the Lord. I've learned my lessons well. And I say today that God still outshines, outdoes all that the world can do. In any way, any shape and form, God can outdo it all. And always had. And those that learned, and I appreciate in our ancestry, that held true to the idea of that and faith in God, and that God heals, and that we're to trust in Him, that have proven it down to their lives and have been true to it. And they have been blessed in their life. And they went out of here with victory in their souls. And they held true. And I suggest today that that's still true today. It's God. It can still be trusted. Oh, I want to tell you today, it's not a lack of God. Many times in the Scriptures, it's a very important fact in the Old Testament Scriptures lineage that proved, like I said, of David. David said that he was used down through. The son of David meant something. What did it mean? It meant God's approval. That's what it meant. It meant God's approval. When he said the son of David, it was a recognition. It's God's approval on you. I would say today that we have a lineage that don't need to be discarded or cast away. There are things sometimes that may need to be changed. Orders of things around us in our time needs to be changed. But God's still the same. All the way through. And God wants to make of you and I today, He wants to make a saint out of us. He wants to make a holy people. A people that's given to God. That has a heart for God. Totally. All Josiah said of him with his whole heart. If I'm not mistaken, it went on to say of him that there was none like him. There was no other king like him. And he was a saint. And I think back of those that held that kind of conviction, that kind of place, God honored it all the way through with his people. I don't know. I always mentioned we live at the last stages. I don't know about when the Lord's coming back and all that and how he's going to wrap this. I don't know all that. But I know that there is a lot of things coming on our world today. And it is no time to give up the things that have been so true and valuable and right down through the history, those that we've looked back on and said, God approved that. God's unction, God's approval, God put His hand on that. He blessed that. It's no time to give up on that. Lord, help us today. That we'd follow the one Scripture said, they went and looked, where is the old path? You know what that's meaning? The path that worked. That's the path that got you there. Lord, help us today. I want to be true. I want to be faithful. I want to be a saint. You pray for me.